may never look at your town or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes a secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. A world dismissed as conspiracy by those who want to keep its secrets hidden. Exposing the dangers, denials, and deceptions. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.
And ladies and gentlemen of the jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No. Because I'm going to get him!
Welcome to this episode of the Hagman and Hagman Report. We're coming to you live from our radio and television studios located here in beautiful Northwest Pennsylvania. We're coming to you via Global Star Radio Network. That's our flagship network, of course. And usually we're simulcast on BTR and YouTube. YouTube is down. We Eric is still sick, and frankly, we're going old school today rather than navigate through the maze of cables, wires, switches, and knobs. So bringing you just clear audio via Global Star Radio Network and BTR Blog Talk Radio. And of course, we broadcast every weeknight, Monday through Friday, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. And don't forget, folks, we've got two different websites, Hagman and Hagman.com. And that's for show information. And HagmanReport.com. That's for show prep. So, both, bookmark both. Please do that. Interesting, a lot of news tonight. We are, of course, going to be taking your phone calls in the second 2 hours of tonight's program. It's a lot of things to talk about, a lot of news to get into this evening. And, of course, if you want to call, we will take first-time callers first based on familiarity with the numbers and area codes and through the call screening. So that's what we're going to do tonight. Again, the second 2 hours, we'll give out the phone number here momentarily. The lines will be open in the second 2 hours, like I said, at the top of the next hour, so that you can start calling in then. Folks, portions of tonight's broadcast brought to you by ProFlowers. You know, Mother's Day is this weekend. How many days away? But you know, ProFlowers, they've got you covered. They have got you covered, guys. For your wives, for your moms, for your grandmothers, for that special person in your life, ProFlowers has you covered even at this late date. Be a hero. Be a hero to your wife or to your mom. Be that adoring son. Be that adoring husband to your wife or son to your mom. And even grandma. Don't forget about grandma. My goodness. Grandma, especially. She's been around, done a lot of things for you, I'm sure. Folks, just go to proflowers.com. That's proflowers.com. And use our microphone code Hagman. That's H-A-G-M-A-N-N. There you can get a very special offer. You can get mom 100 blooms with a free glass vase for $19.99 plus shipping and handling. Or you can make her day extra special. You can upgrade to a premium vase and even add gourmet chocolates. Oh my goodness, are they good? For just $9.99 more. Again, folks, proflowers.com. Use our code word Hagman. More on that later. Well, now, the infamous Romanian. Say it with me now. Romanian hacker Guccifer, speaking exclusively with Fox, claimed he easily repeatedly breached Hillary Clinton's personal email server in 2013. You know, for me, it was easy for me, for everybody. This, according to Mr. Lazar, who goes by that moniker, Guccifer, or Guccifer, depends, whatever you, however you want to pronounce it, his role, or at least a potential role, in the Clinton email investigation. It's interesting that he was he not extradited here, brought into this country, or available now to testify, perhaps? Certainly not coincidental on the timing. We'll be talking about that. We're getting word as well, the Fort McMurray Fort McMurray base in Alberta, Canada, is being evacuated. We're following that story. Apparently there's some pretty bad fire bearing down on that base up there. And that's a mandatory evacuation notice that was issued today, actually today at 3:35 p.m. Their time, Edmonton time. The downtown area southeast of King Street, as well as waterways, Draper, Sailing Creek areas, and are on a mandatory evacuation notice. Residents should immediately should evacuate immediately north to a location north of Fort McMurray. So we're keeping our eye on that as well. A lot of news. And of course, you know, the political news. All right, folks, are we seeing America's last election? Do you think we're seeing America's last election? No. It's going to be interesting to see what happens. Of course, you know, all the talking heads, they're just a flutter. Are they not? About Donald Trump, about Cruz quitting. No one's getting the spiritual aspect of this, or few are. No one really in the mainstream, none of the big talkers are talking about the spiritual aspect of this, talking about the ramifications, the biblical ramifications of what we're seeing take place. You'd think. In the midst of the hubris and hedonism that we're experiencing, you'd think that we'd see that. So,
what's interesting about this report on Fox News about the Guccifer being able to hack into the server of Hillary Clinton, the information in here goes on to say that at least 10 people in different parts of the world were using this server, Hillary Clinton being one of them. And it goes on from there. He explains the process and programs he used and how he used, you know, proxy servers in Russia. And through IP addresses and computer programs that are made specifically for finding open doorways, back doors into other computers. Basically, he got into Clinton's account. Now, recently, Hillary was interviewed on MSNBC, where she said that she nor her aides had been contacted by the FBI about the criminal investigation and asked whether the server had been compromised by foreign hackers. She told MSNBC, no. And we know that the person who installed the server, an aide to Clinton at the time, has been given immunity by the Department of Justice, as we would assume the case is being built against her. And we probably would be assuming wrong.
But nothing happens by accident. Nothing in this world, or at least in the political arena, happens by accident, folks. If Hillary is indicted, oh, that would be, it would be interesting to see. It is only on the authority and with the authority of those in positions of power. It is not going to be because a white hat in the Justice Department or the FBI is you know, pushing for an indictment. Although, word on my, from my source, there are people in the FBI who are just livid over this. I mean, absolutely livid. They know. They know how bad this whole communication setup is and was. I shouldn't say is, because, well, as it was. So you've got FBI agents, the computer technicians, they're the forensic experts saying, oh man, it's wide open. Gates wide open.
Yeah, he actually, Guccifer accessed Clinton's server through Sidney Blumenthal's account. And it's described in the article as the Blumenthal account gave Lazar, which is his real last name, a roadmap to get to the Clinton server.
And every, and here's the thing, every single person
who's emailed.
So, do you think, folks, that Hillary Clinton used her personal email to communicate with Obama? Do you think? I do.
That's been verified.
Right.
He's admitted it.
Well, but I'm talking about with critical information, critical business. Yes. Yes.
He also says that in the interview that he is holding secretly over 2 gigabytes of data that he deemed too hot and a matter of national security to release. He deemed.
Go figure, a hacker with morals. Or, you know, just follow the bouncing ball. Watch the dog and pony show as it unfolds, because that's what it is. And again, don't think for 1 minute that any of this is just, it just happens. This is controlled. Everything is controlled. You know that. It's got to be. They're not going to allow, they're not going to throw Hillary under the bus, given her situation, given the files that she had. Don't forget about the FBI files that she took when she was, during her time with the Rose Law Firm and such. And I want to warn everyone again, okay, because I think this is a good time to warn people. Watch those who are critical of Hillary, Diane Rodham Clinton. Be very careful, especially,
especially this guy.
You know, whatever. Just be very careful, because a lot of the information out there is being controlled. It's controlled dissemination, but a lot of it is made to appear to take Hillary to task. And especially with the Vince Foster case. Oh my goodness. Oh, you know, be very careful, because a lot of this is controlled disinformation. Absolutely. And it's given, like, packaged as if this is really damaging and damning for Hillary. No. It's really not. You'd be surprised when you start looking into the background of some of the people who are taking Hillary Clinton to task, or have taken her to task, whether it's in a newspaper column or a web posting or perhaps a book. You'd be surprised what you find when you start looking into the background of the very people who published this information. So be very careful. And that goes for anybody with respect to Hillary Clinton, Bill Clinton, or anyone else. Just be very diligent. This is something that I'm very passionate about. I want to remind people too. Last night I was on from 10 to midnight last night on Darkness Radio. If you want to listen to the archive, you can go to darknessradio.com, or you can go to AM 1130 out of the Twin Cities, Minneapolis and St. Paul. It's, you can get there through Darkness Radio. That's the easiest way to do it. And my interview, 2-hour interview about, strictly about the book. The book I wrote. If you want to get the inside information about that in an interview, that's where to go. And don't forget, if you do listen to it, leave a comment at Darkness Radio or in the Twin Cities. That's what propels the information. A lot of stuff I said yesterday during that interview that was not in the book. And by the way, some of the audio, at least initially, I don't know what happened with the audio, but some of the audio was garbled, or it sounded like there was too much gain, or it sounded like it was, just hang with it for a few seconds, for a couple of minutes, and it'll clear up somewhat. We did this by landline, and he said, yeah, your mouth is too close to the phone, which, okay, well, whatever. It just, whatever. But yeah, just check in there. So, all right.
Looking at this Fort McHenry fire.
Yeah.
This is a nasty fire if you go through the pictures here. Fort McMurray wildfire, 80,000 evacuated over out-of-control blaze. It's the entire population of a Canadian oil city of Fort McHenry was evacuated as firefighters battled out-of-control wildfire that was likely to worsen Wednesday. And if you go to NBC News or any of the... Just look up the Fort McMurray wildfire photos and the lines of cars with people driving out of there. It's being described as apocalyptic.
Well, you're staring down that wall of flames. I guess I would say that's apocalyptic. That's an ugly wall of flames.
Yeah, I mean, and you got people, you know, driving along roads where you have trees on fire on both sides and trying to get out of there. 80,000 people. That's a lot.
Yeah. Keep in mind too, keep your eyes on what's going on in Ukraine, in that area with Russia, Ukraine. Just keep your eyes on that. It's not really hitting the radar too heavily, but there's increased activity over there. Just keep your eyes on that. You're gonna see, I think, perhaps, you're gonna see where, a push for NATO involvement beyond anything that would be expected. All right. So, and people, it would be good to really understand the origins of the conflict. Russia, are they invaders? Look at the history. Ukraine has a very, very interesting history as it relates to the German Nazis. Okay, just so it would really be good to understand the background of that as well. So a lot of stuff going on worldwide as well as the Middle East. A lot of stuff in the Middle East, kind of going sideways. And also, speaking of things that could go sideways, London in the UK. You ready?
The Muslim mayor?
Yeah. It's about time to elect a Muslim mayor.
Why not?
In London, the UK. Did you see, folks, you see that?
Why not?
That's
the
right.
Population is becoming a majority of Muslims. I mean, can't make this stuff up.
Yeah. Folks, obviously, let's see here. Just want to. We're getting emails, of course, that there's no audio and video on YouTube.
There's no show on YouTube right now.
Right now, that's correct. Yeah, Eric will probably be back tomorrow, and that's fine. So hopefully we'll have it uploaded tomorrow. No video, just the audio. But at this point, you can go to BTR, Blog Talk Radio, or Global Star Radio Network, of course.
Hagman and Hagman.com. How to listen right at the top.
There you go. Yeah. TSA here, by the way. I'm just going to say this real quick and then give it to you. TSA news, you know, they have their own, news. It's amazing. It's amazing what Americans will put up with, what we as Americans will put up with. Travelers are frustrated because of our long TSA wait times at Denver International Airport. Passengers are being advised to arrive 2 to 3 hours early for their flight. TSA again comes under fire as nearly 7,000 American Airline passengers missed their flights in 1 week.
Uh-huh.
And it can get worse. It can get worse. You know, at what point will Americans be fed up with the TSA goons? At what point will the airline say this is unacceptable and get the heck out of our business? It's unconstitutional. And again, Charlotte's airport director urges TSA not to cut staff, warns of delay. Really? But
I don't know. Yes, as the summer travel, spring and summer travel increases. Even as we were in Dallas, leaving Dallas, we were told get to the airport hours before your flight leaves. And we were fortunate because when we went through security at Dallas, we didn't wait long. At least, I don't know how you guys, we went separately through security, but
it was
like 5 minutes.
It was a odd time that we went. But it would stop flying, people. Stop flying and bring the airlines to their knees. Then and only then will things change. But as long as everyone is content to allow yourselves and your children and your loved ones to be bullied, to be harassed, to be robbed, assaulted, then you're getting exactly what you asked for. So happy travels.
Hey, I don't know if you saw this. An IED was found under a bridge near Rosebud, Texas. An impoverished explosive device was found and disabled Tuesday night under a bridge near Rosebud. According to Falls County Constable Richard Aylman, two juvenile boys were hunting for rabbits late Tuesday evening when they noticed suspicious items under a bridge near Farmer's Market, 1963. The boys noticed one of their or notified one of their parents, who's a former military personnel, who contacted the police department, which they called in the fire department and the bomb squad and disabled the device and verified it was a device of plastic explosives with a fuse-type detonator. There was liquid in it, and shotgun shells, and unidentified liquid inside the bottle. Bomb squad and ATF agents were on scene to determine that the device was indeed an IED designed to blow shrapnel. They used a water cannon to disable the device, and the liquid inside was determined to be flammable. Very interesting. In Texas.
And you have to ask yourself, where was that intended? Perhaps a false flag, Texas, what's going on there? You know, what's taking place? Of course, we had a White House, or we had a Navy SEAL killed in Iraq.
Yeah, that was yesterday.
The defense secretary speaking now from Germany said, well, it's a combat death, of course, and a very sad loss. He said, yeah, it kind of shows you, or it shows you the serious fight that we have to wage in Iraq. But then, if you look at the White House, check out the Washington Free Beacon. The White House spokesman, Josh Earnest, he let off his briefing yesterday with an announcement about Obama's impending visit to Flint, Michigan, where he drank the water.
Yeah.
Yes, he did. But he made no mention of the U.S. Navy SEAL that was killed by ISIS in Iraq, until he was questioned on the matter. And that, to me, is just absolutely ridiculous that they were not given more notice and, or you know, more time or more coverage of that. So,
absolutely, this is an interesting and weird story that I want to cover next. And I don't know why this is such a weird thing, but the Siberian Orthodox Church is an international church organization, and they had mysterious fires. Siberian church head says string of fires could be a warning. Now, they said that the head of the Siberian Orthodox Church said Wednesday he finds it strange at best that four of the religion's sanctuaries went up in flames on the exact same day. Three different continents. Anything can be suspected, including that the fires were started on purpose and were not accidental, Patriarch told B92 News. It's strange that four of our Orthodox Christian churches burned at the same time on three different continents. He said it's all symptomatic. We don't know what or if it is some kind of warning and what kind and whether someone set the fire in an organized way. But again, in Manhattan, a few hours after their Easter services, the Siberian Orthodox Church, also known as SPC, was a four alarm fire, and churches at the same time in Russia and Australia were burned to the ground on the same day. but they weren't notified until noon on Tuesday about the other churches on other continents that burned down. So whatever's, I'm unfamiliar with the Siberian Orthodox Church. But on May 1st.
Yep. May Day. Watch the dates.
Three continents, four churches. And, I mean, completely destroyed each and every church that was lit on fire or was caught on fire.
It's coming to America. It's already happening in America. Graffiti on synagogues, Jewish synagogues, graffiti and vandalism, synagogues and Christian churches here in the United States. But it's coming.
Doesn't that seem, the Siberian Church, Orthodox Church, for four of their churches to be burned down at the same time on three different continents? I mean, could, if there was a church building lineup, could you identify a Siberian Orthodox Church?
Well, no, but that's my ignorance. But
me too.
But
so why this group, and why now? I guess is the question.
Of course,
very strange.
Is the question. Watch what people in Europe are doing. Watch what Merkel is doing. Watch what Obama is doing with Merkel and the Europeans with Germany. Edward Klein, who writes for Family Security Matters, pointed something out here, referencing a Washington Examiner article on April 24th. Obama, Germany's Merkel is right on refugee welcome. That's the article title. Obama said that Merkel is on the right side of history in how she's responded to the influx of thousands of Syrian refugees surging into Europe. And at a press conference, Obama said that he's proud of Merkel and the German people for their open-door policy of migrants fleeing violence and uncertainty in their home country. Now, when you look at this, you'll understand this is not solely a humanitarian crisis, and certainly this is not a humanitarian crisis that resulted from issues from within. This is caused by the criminal element within the Western intelligence services, including the CIA, that caused the situation, at least in Syria. Now you've got Arab Spring, basically, that displaced a lot of Christians. But see, we're not, and they're not taking in Christians, and we know that. Obama, he promised to admit, and we had talked about this, 100,000 Syrian and Iraq refugees here this year into the United States. When you look at the demographics, of course, they're fighting age, young men. Where are the women? Where are the children? Just like first-time callers, deference is being paid to men of battle age, and they're coming here, taking our women, taking our homes. That's right. You might say, oh, that's just hype. No, it's not. Our country is being rotted from within through demographics and an overall plan to rend the moral, cultural, spiritual fabric of our people. And that's what's taking place. And Merkel is part and parcel of this in Europe. And she's motivated by her East German communist upbringing. You gotta understand, her communist ideology is proof against all reason. Now, those are the words, again, of the author, of the writer for Family Security Matters, Edward Klein, and very good ones at that. She's, along with Obama, she is determined to remake their respective countries, the United States, as well as Germany, in conformance with their mutual ideologies. Obama's motivation has been repeatedly demonstrated to be rooted in undiluted malevolence for America. It's an ideology that's closely allied with the Alinsky communist agenda. He wants to swamp American and Western culture with hordes of people of color, more amenable to the welfare state, or at least that is the premise, that's his premise, to change the demographics, to shift, to perpetuate the welfare state, statism, the democratic grip on the country, but even more so, to change the spiritual component, the Judeo-Christian makeup of our country. He wants the new America to be diluted and to be, he's killing the country. And what's worse are, so are the lawmakers, the 535 allowing him to do this. And you know, if we're talking about this, undoubtedly, and to trust me on this, we'll get emails saying I'm a racist, I'm a bigot. But this is not even subtle anymore. What Obama's doing and Merkel, not even subtle. The resettlement program. You know, it's to destroy our respective countries. So, it's very, very interesting. Keep your eyes on that as well. Make sure you follow, especially in your hometowns. You can take a look at what's taking place in your hometown. Watch where the settlements are expected. Just keep your eyes on things. And you can make a difference in your hometown by saying, look, we understand, but no, not here, not today. I mean, you can do that. You and have others do it as well. The noisy wheel does get the attention, so I would be noisy on this because, of course, this is for the sake of the country.
Absolutely. Rumors are floating around about Trump and his vice presidential nomination. Be interesting to see who he picks. Some people out there, and there are some articles saying he's looking at the New Mexico governor, Susana Martinez, as his vice presidential running mate. And he replied in April, he said this: as Governor Martinez has consistently been conservative, refusing to raise taxes, balancing the budget without doing so. He's pro-life and supports the Second Amendment, including the right to conceal carry. And Ben Carson is also somebody who comes to mind, but I'm not sure with Trump being the front runner that another non-establishment person would be someone he'd pick. But I don't know if when we do the call-in sections, if people want to talk about who they think Trump should have as VP, that would be interesting to hear as well. All right. Is your computer running fine over there? I don't know why our network. We have some bugs in our network here, and we have to. We're still waiting to get an IT guy over here. But some days the network has no problems whatsoever, and some days nothing will connect to it. And if it does, it runs slow as a snail.
You know, Massachusetts, if you live in the Northeast, their legislature is modifying their bathroom bill language. Again, this is an encroachment on our liberties. This is not about equal rights. This is
North Carolina, too.
Yeah. Two versions of the bill move forward out of the Judiciary Committee. The Senate, the Massachusetts legislature, they will be voting on May 12th. The leadership is trying to gain votes to override a possible veto by the governor. Here's the deal. Okay, when you look at the states around the country, they're crafting the legislation to stop the transgender agenda in public restrooms. Now, that's a good thing. But up in Massachusetts, their lawmakers are trying hard to impose it. Now, facing a self-imposed May 2nd deadline, which was yesterday, or 2 days ago, for action, when they were faced with that deadline, what they did was they modified the language of the bill itself and brought it out of committee. And the bill would force all public restrooms, locker rooms, showers, now think about that, to allow both sexes under the guise of self-proclaimed gender identity, or face stiff fines, lawsuits, even jail time. Now think about that. They have a very long list of other types of public accommodations as well. The bill has stalled for months over bathroom fears. This was initially heard back on October 6th of last year, the Transgender Public Accommodations Bill, in Mass. Now, it was originally filed as both H-1577, of course, that's indicative of the House bill, and Senate 735, S-735. They were stalled from moving forward, they sat in the Joint Judiciary Committee. The sexual predator in women's bathrooms argument used by the pro-family forces, it's been pretty effective. Pretty effective so far in keeping the proponents from getting enough votes to pass by a big enough margin, to override any possible veto by the governor. Now, we're talking about Massachusetts now. Republican Governor Charlie Baker is, interestingly, when you look at him, look at his record, look at his statements, he's very pro-LGBT, but he's refused to endorse a bill. He's kind of stayed out of this, out of the fray. And pro-family groups like Mass Resistance, they've been doing a pretty good job in really describing horror stories from across the country, the many documented instances where men claimed to be transgender and women went into women's restrooms and locker rooms and photographed women, assaulted them and groped them and so on. Yes, it's happened. Are you hearing about it? Of course not. No, why would you hear about something like that? Let me go over a couple of things here with you, and you might think that this is just redundant, it's unnecessary, and especially, you know, given the political climate and everything else, but this tells you pretty much, this will arm you with some facts to refute Uncle Ed, Uncle Ned, or maybe even Aunt Ed, I don't know. But in 2011, a special needs teenager in Stamford, Connecticut was lured into a bathroom by three so-called transgendered men and sexually assaulted. In 1999, now we're going back over time, there was a guy by the name of Patrick Hagen. He's a 6'3", 280-pound martial arts guy. He was sentenced to 2.5 years in prison after punching a female bar patron who questioned his presence in a Port Richey, Florida restroom. The woman lost 5 teeth and faced up to $60,000, $60,000 in medical bills.
You know,
5 years ago, a 39-year-old guy by the name of Thomas Benson had prior sex offenses against 5 to 9-year-old girls. He was arrested when a good Samaritan chased him out of a Milwaukee, Oregon water park. It was packed with children on a field trip. Now, imagine this. Imagine that. Your school takes your children on a field trip to a water park, and you got a 39-year-old pervert goes into the girls' bathroom and women's locker room, of course, at a water park, dressed in a bikini. Can you picture this? And he started talking to the children. Now, if that doesn't creep you out, I don't know what will. But you see, this is all about, understand, this is not about equal rights. This has nothing to do with anything other than the perversion, the intended perversion of our country right from the pits of hell. Understand that this is all part of the homosexual agenda. This is all part of a larger story, a larger pattern to destroy the country from within. And they're using every avenue to do it. You know, think back, just really quick, because the basis for this, you have to understand how Tavistock has worked with all of the media outlets and even television. Think back to the homosexual behavior on network television. Think back to 1971, for example, CBS. in an attempt to appeal to the young, the urban viewers with disposable incomes, they took shows off. The light-humored shows like Beverly Hillbillies, Green Acres. Remember those? Petticoat Junction, mm-hmm. The Andrew Griffith Show. These fairly, somewhat conservative. I mean, not entirely. But, and somewhat generally, at least, family-friendly shows were replaced by the in-your-face progressive liberalism of Norman Lear's All in the Family, Maude. Remember Maude? Oh, man. And then there's Maude, right? And then the contempt for all sensibilities of through that MASH and the characters in MASH. The movie MASH was not the first, but was definitely the most blatant film to that date to openly ridicule Christianity. I'm not sure really? How many people know that. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I used to like MASH.
Well, the movie. No, you got to go back to the movie.
I've never seen the movie.
All right. You got to go back to the movie and start looking at the people behind the movie and the agenda for the movie. The movie MASH was not the first, but it was definitely the most blatant film to that date that ridiculed Christianity in its portrayal of Frank Burns. Now, he was the Bible-reading, adulterous hypocrite. In one scene, he was reading the 21st or 23rd Psalm, and his tentmates were making obscene comments and demeaning comments about the Bible and his faith. The television program really, really painted the Christian faith in a horrible manner. Now, the attacks by Hollywood on Christians started really, really started in earnest in 1960. And I don't know how many people out there know this or even care, but you got to look back to see where we've been to understand the path of where we're being taken. But 1960, the movies Elmer Gantry and Here at the Wind came out. In those films, Christians were portrayed as either corrupt or ignorant. Think about that. That's kind of the opening shot. And what happened after that, of course, you know, you had the attack on Bible prayers in public schools or in government schools and such. And then, of course, as the decades progressed in the 70s, you had All in the Family, the enlightened progressive character of, I can't remember his name, but it was the Archie Bunker household, of course. Talk about bigoted and homophobic, conservative yet, but nonetheless it would be described as bigoted and homophobic today. And of course we had, we saw that program progress in 1977. There was an episode that dealt with the death of Archie Bunker's wife. Her name was Edith, her lesbian cousin, and issues surrounding the leaving of her estate to her lesbian lover. And once more, the reason this is important is because it is setting the stage for what we're seeing happen today. But just please understand that when we're talking about this, we're talking about the situation up in Massachusetts today. We're talking about these things all across the country. What's the end game here? The end game, of course, is an attack on the nuclear family. It's an attack on you and me. It's an attack on our faith. And understand one thing. Homosexuality is not a genetic trait. It is a behavioral trait. It is a condition. Being gay or homosexual or being a lesbian is a decision, in my view. Show me the authenticated, verifiable scientific evidence where homosexuality is born from genetics, or is born out of genetics, or a trade at birth. It's not. It's not. So, this whole scene, this whole idea of being identifying with, identifying as a man or a woman, this is one of the most hideous schemes. Because sexual predators, this is about pedophilia. This is about sexual predators. This is about the attorneys general all across the United States and enforcing very strong, very pro-LGBT laws.
And yesterday this is not on the LGBT issue, but the Virgin Islands going after those who oppose the belief of man-made global warming, the companies over there. That was a crazy story. But North Carolina, the federal government is threatening that North Carolina's LGBT laws are they violate civil rights laws. And they are threatening, the federal government is threatening to pull federal funding of all schools, equating in billions of dollars in revenue the state could lose. So they're using federal funding as a weapon to have LGBT equality implemented throughout their state, specifically in their schools.
That's right.
And if I were North Carolina, or a person in North Carolina, I would send a letter of support to the governor along with the donation just to tell the federal government they don't need their money.
Well, states don't need the money. They merely have to stop paying the matching federal funds and such. It's all a ruse to keep... it's not what people think it is. So,
do you think the federal government would allow the education system to not indoctrinate children in North Carolina if it didn't implement the bathroom laws? No.
Well, I just want to be very clear. The medical community, if you look at the diagnostic manuals and such, there's no such thing as transgender. According to medical officials, the people who write these manuals, men who seriously believe that they're women, or women who believe that they're men, they have mental health problems. And pandering to that, to that association, mental association, only enables these people with the mental health problems and those predisposed to, or disposed to the behavior of pedophilia. Folks, our children and our grandchildren and our loved ones right now are in danger. And this is no small matter. People say, well, oh, there's no incidence of anything bad happening. And no, that's wrong. That is totally wrong. There are numerous instances where men have used this particular influence, these tactics, to gain access to women and children. Now Massachusetts and other states want to make it legal. So everyone needs to oppose all bills. And if you don't, all bills that enable this activity, if you don't, then your wives, your moms, your grandmas, your aunts and sisters and your loved ones will be at risk of assault by men in women's restrooms. Coach Dave Dobemeyer, God bless that man, Target. He went into Target. He exposed this ridiculous policy.
Did you know their stocks are down $2.5 billion?
Good.
Billion dollars? That stems from the coverage that Coach Dave had gotten from his video.
I'm sure he's not going to be invited to the next board meeting, right?
No.
But see, this is what we need to do all across the board. We need to make a stand, because no one's making a stand. People are complaining. Certainly they're complaining, but they're not making a stand. If you decide, I'm not going to shop at Target because of this policy, Well, they're going to feel it in the pocketbook. And let them feel it in the pocketbook. How in the world are we allowing 3% of the population at best when you throw everybody that identifies, you know, seriously, or says they're homosexual into the mix? How are we letting 3% dictate to the 97%? The reason is it's part of a larger agenda. This is an attack. This is the most significant issue that concerns religious liberty in our lives. You have to understand that. This involves an attack against the Judeo-Christian ethic and faith and our morality and spirituality. This is unbelievably perverse at its core, evil at its core, and it's been going on for some time. Call me homophobic, I don't care. Call me whatever. It's a fact. Show me scientific evidence. Show me scientific evidence where homosexuality is a genetic predisposition. And as I said before, medical authorities, they have reported that identifying with the opposite sex, saying that you're a woman when you're a guy, it's a mental health disorder. There was an article on the internet at firstthings.com. I don't know. It's got to be a couple of years old now. I don't know, maybe a dozen years old now. In fact, I'll tell you what. It was, I just saw it here. It was November 2004 in First Things. This is an article by Paul McHugh where he was writing. Now think about this. This is 12 years ago, a dozen years ago. He wrote this. He said, when the practice of sex change surgery first emerged back in the early 1970s. Notice how it also kind of corresponded with the television and the programming. He writes, I would often remind its advocating psychiatrist that with other patients, alcoholics in particular, they would quote the Serenity Prayer, which of course you know that. It's God give me the serenity to accept things I cannot change and so on. Okay, when, you know, where did they get the idea that our sexual identity, gender was the term, of course they preferred as men or women, was in the category that they could change this? Interesting article by Paul R. McHugh from 2004. Perhaps we'll put this up because at HagmanReport.com, because the written by a surgeon, doctor, and psychiatrist, a psychiatrist. In fact, the psychiatrist in chief, former at John Hopkins Hospital. Very interesting information about the facts as they relate to this phenomena, this tactic. So we must all take a stand, and not allow this to happen. Because again, you know, I was talking with JD the other day, and he was saying something about my saying, you know, wow, be careful with respect to. It was a conversation where he was urging caution about men going into a woman's bathroom, and you know, there'd be a problem. I'm going to just say flat out, if my granddaughter is in a bathroom, if I see a 6-year-old or a young girl in a bathroom, and I see a guy walk into that bathroom, there will be problems. And you can quote me on that. There will be a scene. I ain't going to let it happen. But this is all related to Obergefell, the decision with the homosexuality. I mean, this is all, remember when everyone said, this can't happen? Well, it's happening, and it was planned this way. Folks, we're going to be right back. Stay with us.
884-769-2944. 884-769-2944.
This is the